Hey, blessings and welcome. This is Dominique Liv-Kamel with Project Wellness. Welcome to our podcast. Today we're holding our Long Table Wellness Day in Mullaney, and the topic is women's hormonal health. The ladies are currently on the last minute of their break and they're going to come and sit back down. So what we're going to talk about today in this podcast, which I'm also sharing with our Long Table Wellness Day, is women's hormonal health cycles, and we're going to go through the whole cycle. So ladies, when you're ready, if you could come and sit back down and join me, that would be beautiful. So what we did for the first part of the workshop was we talked about what everybody wants to achieve from the workshop, and then we've done a meditation, and then we've done a refocus. And what we're going to do now is we're going to talk about the technical side of women's hormonal health. And we're going to talk about this technical side of cycles. And just everyone have a seat. Please pour yourself some more tea. We're drinking oat straw tea, which is really beautiful. And we've all had a shot of maca, which is lipidium mayonnaise. And if I could just ask, if anybody hasn't written anything on the board with the marker about any shift that you've had in your focus for today, please do so now. So the women's cycle, like we talked about the seeding and we talked about seeds and the seed of what's in your womb that's passed on to your children's womb and then what's in your mother's womb, and it just goes on forever that way and it goes on forever forward as well. So we are never separate from past generations and we are never separate from future generations. I believe we know nothing, as I've said, but what I'm going to cover today is evidence-based technical information about what we know through current research and what we can do through both evidence-based practice and complementary alternative traditional medicines here in Australia, where we are now with our available resources, and how we can help ourselves as women through our hormonal cycles. So we've got a really diverse group of girls and women today. We've got Wala and Dali, who are clearly beautiful children, and they won't be experiencing any changes in their hormonal cycles that are outwardly obvious for another few years yet. But once that cycle starts, they technically say that the hormonal cycle for women starts at like the first bleed of a young woman, and that can happen naturally. That would happen anytime between the ages of 12 and 15. But what we're seeing today societally is we're seeing that happen a lot earlier for some girls. And it's really a travesty, it's a tragedy, and it's a result of the uncontained food industry. It's a result of mostly the meat industry. It's a result of the glycophosphates and the hormonal industry, the hormones that are put into the food chain, and it's a result of mass production of foods. It's a result of the petrochemical companies, the pharmaceutical industries, and the toxins that generally come into our bodies. So I'm not going to cover that. We all know that exists, and that's not why we're here today. We're not here to look at what the problem is. We're here to look at what the solutions can be for us. And so that's all I'm really interested in my work with you today, is to help you with that. So I just want to, like, the phases of the cycles was a word that was put up there, and like the stages of the cycle and what it is. So I just want to talk about day one of the cycle, from when you are, you know, in your cycle, from when you're classified as a woman. The day one is the first day of your bleed. Now, this is what's called the follicular stage of the cycle, and that goes through technically, generally, for about 14 days. And then you hit ovulation. And then from ovulation on, you trend into the luteinizing phase of the cycle. This goes for another 14 days to the end of the cycle. And then it's the bleed again. Now, whether it's 28 days or 30 days or whatever, it's technically moon. And that's why it's been called moon time. And it is really, some women bleed on the full moon. Some women bleed on the new moon. And if you bleed anywhere in between that, that too is classified as normal. But in my work, I usually try and move women over to one or the other, for the simple reason that it's the emptiness and the fullness. And so when you look at day one of the cycle, let's say it's the day of the new moon, dark moon, you think about that as a whole thing, and you're thinking that it's the beginning, it's a newness, it's a time of creating intention, it's a time of beginnings, it's a time when you would plant the seed as such, where some women are ovulating at that stage as well. So either or, I'm just going to talk right now about day one of your cycle. And day one of your cycle, you start bleeding. Now, generally, there's a feeling of relief when you start bleeding. Often a lot of heaviness leaves your body physically. Edema, inflammation, and swelling leaves your body. The feelings of depression and anger that you may have experienced can continue through that stage, or they may subside depending upon what's going on from you. Like your first day of the bleed could be a very light color, it could be almost like a cleary pinky color, or it could be a heavy color. It could be heavy, the bleed could be heavy, or it could be light. Some people have 2 days of really heavy bleeding and then it goes down. Other people have like 1, 2, 3 days of very, very light bleeding. And that's all dependent on one thing. And that is the buildup on the endometrium wall of the uterus of the beautiful foaming blood that is built up to carry the baby. And what happens is your body releases that because you're not pregnant. That is day one of the cycle. That's what they call day one of the cycle. It kind of feels weird because it's right at the end and that's the end result of what happens. But that is technically the beginning of the cycle, because that is when your progesterone levels are at their lowest, your estrogen levels are at their lowest. All of your hormones, your reproductive hormones, are at their lowest at that exact time. And that's the release of the bleed. And then from there, your estrogen levels are building up over the next 14 days until you hit ovulation. The ovulation point is when your estrogen is at its peak and your progesterone is really at its lowest. So what happens at this whole 14 days is estrogen's like almost like a strengthening hormone. Your immunity feels good with estrogen. Estrogen is like warrior woman, you know, like estrogen, you can get out there and you can do a whole lot of stuff with estrogen. Estrogen is like great because it powers you up. So this is this part of the cycle where you feel, when you're bleeding, you often feel weak because one, you may have anemia, you may have adrenal fatigue, which is another thing that we're going to be talking about in this workshop. You may have thyroid issues. You may have too much of an estrogen pump going on when you're going ch-ch-ch estrogen, and at the same time you're going ch-ch-ch cortisol. And so there's stress hormones that are kicking into there. But these are all not solutions. These are all things that we need to find solutions for. Because what you want is you want a steady incline of estrogen at this phase until you hit ovulation. And so your energy's better. Your immunity's super strong. You're feeling good. Because this is the natural primitive part of us that is just going to say, hey, I'm going to have sex right now. I'm going to get pregnant. It's ovulation. Where's that guy? You know, and you go out fucking hunting, you know. And this is what is this stage of the cycle. That's exactly what it's about. It's about you are at your peak. When you're ovulating, you are at your peak physically. Like if you're going to lift up a car and carry a car across town, that's the day you're going to do it, you know. It's like, you know, this is a time when women can do really powerful, physical, powerful things. And often too, you find, and this is where, like during this phase too, you're creative. And you've got all this creativity going on, and then you hit ovulation, and then ovulation, it can be a very emotional time for a lot of women. Like you're either having sex every day, which is kind of good if you want to have a baby because that's the way nature intended it, or you're going to be feeling super creative and powerful and you just your projects are going really well, or you can just feel completely exhausted and you're pumping too much cortisol, got too much stress going on, your adrenals are going, you're burning out your thyroid hormones over time, you stuff up your resting thermogenesis, which is your metabolism when you're sitting still. And this all happens at ovulation. This is what happens at ovulation. So energetically, what we need to do is energetically at this point is when we really need to bring in the chill out, relaxing stuff. Like when you get your period on day one, when your hormones are at their lowest, That's when you take things like nettle, urticadoiacea. This is when you address the anemia, Romania bark. This is when you're taking your brewer's yeast, nutritional yeast in all of your food, when you're bleeding. These are the things that you take at that time. If you've got endometriosis or fibroids and you've got super heavy bleeding, you take huge doses of Vitex Angus Castus, which is chasteberry berry, because you want to bring the bleed down. You really want to bring that bleed down. But we can go into details of that individually with you. I'm super happy to chat with you about that because it's so much detail in this. So I just want to keep this quite umbrella broad, if I can. And then what happens is once your bleeding stops and your energy and your creativity starts to really kick in and you start to feel good because you've got all that emotional release, your period's over, that's when you start taking things like the Avena sativa, the oats tea, because that helps stop too much buildup of estrogen in the body. That's where, and it's also a nervine and it's an emotional body herb. So you want to build the emotional body. That's when you start taking really, really beautiful nervines, emotional herbs like St. John's wort. Hypericum is a great herb to take. Anything that's going to be adrenal gland boosting and adrenal gland building is awesome. Adaptogenics like Eleutherococcus sinensis, like which is Siberian ginseng, astragalus membranosus, which also works on the anterior pituitary gland with gonadotropin-releasing hormone, and which is all of our master hormonal secretions, anything that's going to do that. So that's Lepidium mayonnaise, the maca, which we had a shot of earlier this morning. It works on master hormonal secretions. Perfect from when your period stops, the bleeding stopped, up until ovulation. And it's just so good to take these adaptogenics. It's so good to take these hormone modulatory ones. Now, when you hit ovulation, that's when you know two things. You know one, if your liver's congested. You know two, if your thyroid hormones are out of whack. Oh, you know a few more things too. You also know whether your adrenal glands are stressed and burned out and you're pumping too much. And you also know whether you're blowing out your mind-body connection with overthought and that kind of stuff. So this is the point when you're at your biggest, your luminous body is at its biggest. And this is the point when you need to have your magnetic field at its strongest. And this is the point where you need to keep your physical body really strong. So at ovulation is when you bring in immunomodulatory herbs. You bring in things like, you know, astragalus, you can take all through because of that. You bring in, you know, like immunomodulatory, we're talking cat's claw, Uncaria tomentosa. We're talking anything that's going to boost your immunity, echinacea angustifolia. Because what happens from that point, and I'm talking energetically, esoterically, physiologically, evidence-based, traditional medicine and DOM stuff here. So I'm just giving you the whole umbrella of where it is, because when you ovulate, a lot of stuff happens, right? Like you're emotionally vulnerable when you ovulate to start with, but your immunity is at its strongest. Your physical body is at its strongest. Your creativity is at its strongest. But what you do with that is really important. And this is where you have to modulate that yourself. So instead of just going out there and just like partying all night and going to every nightclub to see how many, you know, I don't know what women do these days, but like whatever you do, or, you know, having sex all night with your partner for days on end, instead of that kind of stuff, you've got to look at, or, you know, getting onto a creative project and just like being a manic artist and painting day and night for 3 or 4 days, because your body's up for it. That's when your body's up for it during ovulation. Your body is so up for it that you have to bring it down. And that's where adaptogenics bring it down. And Siberian ginseng is so good for that. Gotu Kola, Centella Asiatica, that's another one. The Brahmis, Bacopa Moniera, these herbs, chill. Take passion flower at night. It's going to shut your brain up. If your creativity is on overload, take nervines, the Avena sativa, oats, take chamomile, have valerian at night before you go to sleep. Have things that are going to chill you out. Slow it down. Because if you don't slow it down and you overdo it, then you're going to get your cortisol adrenaline pump going. And that is when the beginning of the fall happens, and it's a bad fall. It starts in your early 30s, and then by the time you hit menopause, it's all gone south, it's all gone west, and you feel like you can't do anything and you feel like it's gone too far. So what happens is that you've got this going on, you're ovulating, you've got this buildup of creativity in the cycle, and then through the life cycle of that, during your 30s, it's all great. Yep, I'm gardening day and night. It's all good. I can do this. I've got my projects on. My projects are awesome. You're building, and that's a building life phase as well. That's a time in our lives where we are building things in our 30s. Like we've got a lot of energy in our 30s. But what happens then is that you hit ovulation and you're invincible. You can do pretty well anything. And I'm used to this because it started at a young age. And unless you've been interrupted by stuff that's coming in now a lot more, like, you know, like we're talking things like chronic fatigue syndrome and autoimmune diseases and lifestyle diseases that are happening younger and younger in women. And we're not talking about that either today, but that would be something that would inhibit this cycle. I'm talking about the natural cycle in a naturally healthy woman who's not impeded by medications or other illnesses. I'm talking about just your healthy, awesome woman. And that's where you are. You're ovulating and you're strong and you're powering. It's perfect. In your 30s, this is great. You're Wonder Woman. Get out there, do everything. But what you're doing is you're secreting the cortisol. The pump's on. Stress hormones are going up. You're feeling awesome because you can cope with more and more and more. It's like no limits. Let's go. And then what happens then is you start to burn out your adrenal glands. But who cares about that? You certainly don't. You don't even notice because then you start to burn out your thyroid hormones. And then this is the incidence. There's chronic diseases today that are based on adrenal gland burnout and thyroid burnout. But this is affecting your cycle as you get older. Because what happens then is once you've burnt out your thyroid hormones and then you get all those conditions, like we've got someone with Hashimoto's here in the room today, which is reversible, and you've got these thyroid conditions that are going on. And then what happens is then your liver gets going with your brain and your ovaries and goes, all right, let's just pump more estrogen. And so the estrogen pump's turned on because your thyroid hormones are burnt out, exhausted, your adrenals are burnt out, so therefore your reproductive hormones have to take over. And this is why we have such an incidence of women who are menopausal and perimenopausal today who get chronic diseases, who get autoimmune conditions, who get liver conditions, who get adrenal gland conditions, thyroid conditions, and a lot of hormonal conditions with the whole reproductive cycle through menopause that, in my mind, is fully avoidable. I've managed to avoid it myself just through my own processes. And I can tell you, Honey knew me when I was in my 30s. You're the only person in the room who did. She knows what I was like. And, you know, really, I had no choice, but that's right. And, you know, that's the whole thing. Yeah, Shay knew me through my 40s. Like, you know, you guys, like, I was just, like, powering. But I knew what was going on, so I was powering herbs as well. So I can tell you how to do that. But that's, like, so basically, if you're going to do that, because I'm doing my podcast while I'm doing this today as well, we've started a podcast called Project Wellness, and we're on Spotify. And, yeah, so we've started that. And this is my fifth podcast that we're doing here today. And I'm doing it at our workshop, and I just want to tell you what to do about that straight up, and that is if your adrenal glands, when you go through ovulation, take the adaptogenics, take the tonics, have licorice root, super awesome for building up your adrenals, have licorice root and nettle through your whole cycle if you're a powerhouse like I was. If you really, really want to look after your body as well, keep those adaptogenics going through the whole cycle. Look after your emotional body during that first half of the cycle with estrogen and take turmeric, curcuma longa. What I've got here today in front of each of you on the table is a little glass jar, and in that little glass jar is the most awesome follicular stage of the menstrual cycle little pot of wellness you can have. It's turmeric, ginger and black pepper. Turmeric works, like if your hormones are deregulated because of the glycophosphates and the toxins in the world or whatever is there, then one of the best things, the phase two detoxification pathway in the liver, the hormonal detoxification pathway, is turmeric's reign area domain. you want to take a lot of turmeric. You want to drink turmeric tea. You want to put turmeric in your cooking. You want to have turmeric extract. It regulates estrogen. The oats, Avena sativa tea, it regulates estrogen as well. You really want to keep estrogen under control. What happens when you've got too much estrogen is you want sugar, creamy, carby, yumminess. And then that gets another, and that is through the follicular stage and through the ovulation stage as well. Because this is mama preparing to get pregnant and I'm going to eat for two. And what am I going to eat? Naturally, back in the day when you were out hunting in the forest, ever how many thousand years ago, you would have been eating seeds, nuts, berries, like some grains that were grown in your area. You would have eaten seasonal foods. You would have had meat occasionally. You wouldn't have had high fructose corn syrup. You wouldn't have had fructose. You wouldn't have had glucose. You wouldn't have had these breakdowns of sugars that our body just loves. And what happens in the ovulation phase of the cycle as well, which is where insulin is something that you really want to keep under control. Insulin is the hormone that is secreted. You have an insulin sensitivity, and insulin is secreted from the pancreas. There's two hormones from the pancreas, glycogen and insulin. Now, insulin's job is to take all of that beautiful glucose, which is a breakdown of the over-estrogen saturated creamy, sugary, yummy cakes. Just think bakery when I'm talking estrogen overload. And then you will be basically taking that, and the insulin's job is to pick it up in the blood, carry it across the lumen of the blood veins, and put it into your body so that your liver can store it. And it's going to store it here on your abdominal area, in your thighs, and so that classic pear shape. And when we put on abdominal obesity and abdominal weight, and when we put on weight in our thighs and our hips, that is estrogen weight. It's insulin weight. It's because you've secreted a lot of insulin. And then you've got the hormone leptin. And when you lose the sensitivity to insulin, but you become insulin insensitive, normally leptin will say, hey, put the fork down. You've had enough to eat. You put the fork down. You've had enough to eat. That's normal insulin sensitivity. When leptin and you have insulin insensitivity, which happens around ovulation and the estrogen cycle and the cascade, is that what you'll end up doing is you'll just keep eating and you feel really hungry. And you're like, I only ate 2 hours ago. Why am I really hungry? Hey, I need to think about this. And if this does happen to you, this is what you need to think about. You've hit ovulation. You're really hungry all the time. You're craving delicious foods that are a little bit sweet. You're hungry a lot. So you need to think, okay, I think I'm secreting a little bit too much estrogen here. This is how you know this hormone. I'm putting on a little bit of inflammation in my body. I've got a little bit of fluid retention going on. I'm feeling kind of full. I'm starving. I need. And then things you need to eat are not the things you need to eat. And you really actually are hungry. And if you're not hungry, it's a trick of your mind and you keep eating. So you're just eating. This is insulin insensitivity by estrogen overload in women at ovulation. And so now we've sort of covered ovulation. And ovulation is when you can be quite fierce as well. And you can be quite strong in what you're doing, and you can be really determined in your plans and your projects. Like, I used to plan all the hard stuff for when I was ovulating. Like, I would be just like, I'd be like, oh, this is my cycle, I'm bleeding now. So when I was bleeding, often I would water fast while I was bleeding on just nettle tea and stuff for a few days, and I just give myself that real downtime. And then that really allows, that gives you a hormone reset. So if you water fast for 72 hours, that will give you an immunity and a hormonal reset, which is what I used to do regularly. And then I'd go through and I'd plan and I'd go, I'd be ovulating around here and here. And that's when I'd do the tough stuff. Like, I've written 2 books. Thank you, ovulation. You know, perfect. Because you just do it. You can do it. Nothing's going to stop you. And that's when your mind is at its most focused as well. That's also another really good time to fast, cleanse and detox. Like, when you're ovulating, that's a really good time for you to moderate yourself. It's a perfect time for you to say, okay, you know what? I'm just going to do a 2-day juice cleanse, and then you have really delicious, beautiful cleansing things, lots of turmeric in it, just balancing out that estrogen. Because what happens is your body's getting rid of the estrogen after ovulation anyway. You go into the luteinizing phase, and the luteinizing phase is from ovulation when progesterone starts to get stronger, and that goes right up until the day of the bleed, and then the estrogen's going down. Now, what happens if you've got a congested liver? What happens if you've got a congested body that's full of inflammation and oedema, with an insulin insensitivity, with an overload of estrogen anyway? You're not going to get rid of that estrogen. So that estrogen's going to continue and it's going to carry through. Where's it going to get caught? It's going to get caught in your lymph nodes, in your lymphatic system, around your breast tissue, around between your legs. It's going to get caught in your lymphatic system. And your lymphatic system's job is to decongest. It's to get rid of things. It's to move things through the fatty acids. All hormones in our body are carried through in fatty acids. That's what cholesterol's job is. The job of cholesterol in your liver, low-density and high-density lipoproteins are designed to carry your endocrine system around your body. You need cholesterol, you need hormones, once again turmeric, because turmeric will take out low density lipoproteins, which are the bad fatty acids, which are the rancid ones, and it will balance the high density lipoproteins. So will ginger, so will Cynaris gummulus, which is globe artichoke. When you ovulate, it's the perfect time to have things like milk thistle and hepatoprotectives and herbs that are going to get rid of the estrogen. You know, like the golden milk drink we're making here later this afternoon. And that is just such a great drink to have right through ovulation. It's a great drink to have. You want to get rid of the estrogen, okay? Because if you don't get rid of the estrogen, it builds up. And then that's going to encourage the insulin insensitivities. It's also going to, you see, this is where you have to be really looking after your adrenal glands. Do you understand that? Like, if you look after your adrenal glands from the beginning of the bleed right through with women, you look after the adrenals, boom, boom, boom. Men have a different cycle. But for women, from the you look after adrenal glands right through. Adaptogenics, the best thing you can do. Eleutherococcus santiaconosis, Withania somniferia, astragalus membranosus, Centella asiatica, that Siberian ginseng, ashwagandha, astragalus is always called astragalus, gotu kola, Bacopa moniera brahmi. These are the things you really need, adaptogens. And then when you're coming into the ovulation, you're really wanting the tonics, you know, like, and you really want the tonics that bleed as well. So there's two stages where you want those. That's things like licorice root and nettle. And then you want the turmeric. You really want to control that estrogen. You don't want too much, and you don't have to be overweight. You can be very underweight, and you can be, I have met women who are so skinny and depleted, and they are so unhealthy because their adrenals are burnt out, their thyroid's burnt out, they're pumping too much estrogen, their liver's congested, they don't know how to get rid of it, their emotional body's a mess. You know how to tell? Take your fingers and put them here like I am now and look at them. And if your fingers are shaking, so I've got my two hands together just sort of in front of my eyes, I'm just looking at my fingers, and my fingers aren't shaking because I've got a good, strong nervous system. If your fingers are shaking at all, the number one thing you need is nutritional yeast, brewer's yeast. Nutritional yeast is the base of all the B-group vitamin supplements. It's got folic acid, it's got vitamin B12. If you're a vegan, you can have it. And the vitamin industry just suck up this stuff and sell it for 1,000 times the price to you in tablets. All you need to do is buy it in your pharmacy or health food shop or in your co-op. You just sprinkle it over food. There's some here today for your lunch. We've got some. But brewer's yeast is your number one B-group vitamin source, and you need to put it in everything. Vegemite in Australia is based on brewer's yeast. And brewer's yeast is just a really, really high form of vitamin B. I'll take questions later, if that's okay. I just want to start so I don't forget what I'm going to say to you. If anyone has any questions, okay, we'll stop right now. We won't take questions later. We'll stop right now. Can you say your question and then I'll repeat it, honey? Are brewer's yeast and nutritional yeast two different things or the same? They're the same thing fundamentally, but they sometimes come from different sources. like the brewing industry, have got a leftover product that they turn into Vegemite. A nutritional yeast can come from that, or it can come from other sources as well. Often the nutritional yeast will come from the baking industry as well. Leftover things. Yes, Nicole?
I know we're trying to balance out the extreme highs and the extreme lows.
We're trying to balance out the extreme highs and extreme lows, yeah?
Is there a way that we can tap into the power of the cycle?
Is there a way that we can tap into the power of the cycle?
To get stuff done.
To get stuff done, yes, absolutely. I've written two books in the power of the cycle, and I'm telling you how to do that right now. Adaptogens. Take the adaptogens. Do what you're doing. That's why I say you have to moderate yourself. You have to moderate yourself. You can't let yourself get carried away with your projects. You have to sit down and you have to plan what you're going to do. You have to be aware of your energy. You almost have to use your mind to stop yourself from doing stuff and to control it over the time frame. So just don't go all out. Just don't secrete cortisol. Like if you can secrete adrenaline and cortisol, if you can resist secreting adrenaline and cortisol, like what's the price of secreting too much adrenaline and cortisol? It's the burnout of the adrenal hormones and the adrenal glands, but then it becomes the burnout of the thyroid hormones and the thyroid glands, and then it becomes the burnout of the reproductive hormones and the SS estrogens, and then you go through pretty well a hell of a menopause, and then you're more vulnerable for immuno diseases and autoimmune stuff and any kind of thing, and your immunity's down and you really become weakened and you're at risk of a whole lot of stuff, including chronic fatigue syndrome because of this. So you have to moderate it through your own mind. And that's where hypericum, St. John's wort, as a herb is great. That's where passion flower as a herb is great. It shuts your mind up. Like you have to shut your mind up at these phases of our life. Like this is why, you know, like it's a natural thing, okay? This is how nature intended it. But we're living longer and longer and we want longevity. So if we want longevity in our 30s, we don't really want to burn all of this out, so that in our 40s we're living off the estrogen and we've got all these conditions to deal with, so that when we hit our 50s, we're in a condition where we've got chronic fatigue syndrome, we've got autoimmune diseases, we've got a hell of a menopause, we're weakening. Like we really want to build ourselves up, and it doesn't matter where we are, we need to keep building that and working with it and working with the cycle. So the beginning of the cycle, like I say, when you start bleeding, that's a really great time to go in your cave and hide. You know, there's the organization Red Tent. Okay, that's a great example of historically what women have done. In many cultures, women, when we bleed, we're not allowed to cook, we're not allowed to do all this stuff. In some cultures, bleeding women in Africa are sent out to the little hut out there. You know, it's perfect. You know, like, so I would say when you're bleeding, nourishing things. Like I would happily fast on nettle tea and licorice root tea if I'm bleeding, easily. That's a time when you fast. It's a time when you make a big pot of soup, climb in bed, hide from the world. Perfect. And then do that for 2-3 days, 4 days, if you can. Just keep it low, keep it minimal, keep it low. Avoid everything if you can. And then when the bleeding stopped, if you've set yourself up during that initial period with intention, with intention, then you can bring that intention out into the world. And that's why I like to get a lot of women with the first day of their bleed in my naturopathic work to be the dark of the moon. I like my women who are my patients to be bleeding either at the new moon or the full moon. And I can explain that to you, but we can get you there. It's not a problem. We can do that naturopathically. But if you're bleeding at the beginning of the new moon, in the dark of the moon, the new moon bleeding, and you're hiding from the world, and you're fasting and cleansing and just giving yourself nourishing herbal teas, nourishing soups for 2 or 3 days, and then you stop and you resume your normal diet, and then your creativity is coming in and it's growing, 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 and you're bringing those intentions into play, and then it's the full moon and you hit ovulation and you're a powerhouse. You're just powering. And then you just bring it down. But physiologically, to bring it down, the thing you need to do most is you need to get rid of the estrogen and let the progesterone come in, because the progesterone is what creates that nice little bubble inside your uterus that is the lining that is getting ready to take that baby. Because when you have sex, what's happening is like the zygote, which is the combination of the meeting of the sperm and the egg, it's coming down through the ovaries, down into through the tubules, through the folliculum tubes, into the uterus, and then it's swimming around, and your body's just waiting for this little thing to attach to the wall. And that's the whole luteinizing phase. It's the progesterone phase. It's like building it up and building this really nourishing, beautiful little bed for the baby to live in. And then progesterone is like just like an antenna, and it's just waiting for this attachment to happen. And then if it doesn't happen, it drops down and then you bleed. And that's your period. And that's the depression. There's the post-peri, all that stuff. Like when you talk about premenstrual tension, that's an ancient thing. Like it is like you are not, your body is not happy because it is not pregnant, right? Us as women in our society today, we're stoked. It's like, yes, I'm not pregnant. Thank God, you know, I've had three children. I know this feeling. Yes, I'm not pregnant, you know. And it's like for us as women, like it's like, yes, thank God, because our lives are not, you know, like in the cave or in a, you know, shifting subsistence agriculture, or we're not born into one village and we die in the same village and our entire mission is to produce more sons so that they can go out and kill the guys down the road or whatever it was that is traditionally, culturally our role as women, you know. Which is true, because that's the survival of the species. So we want strong things and we want strong babies, and that's the law of attraction as well, because you become attracted to men who are, you know, like full of testosterone and androgens, who are like out there and they're fighting and the best warrior got the, you know, like the prettiest girl, and then they breed babies, and it's about strong genes and all that stuff. But that's not what we're worried about today. What we're talking about today now is that right through that, progesterone creates happiness, bliss and joy. Progesterone is, you know, the implants that you can get, progesterone implants for contraception, because if you have progesterone and you have high enough levels of progesterone, that's what a lot of contraceptive pills that are safe are made out of. That's what like the Mirena IUDs and a lot of IUDs with local hormones are. They're progesterone based, and the same with the little arm ones. Now, one of the things that they do in prisons, and it's a global practice, is that they insert these women's contraceptions into men, especially pedophiles and men who are, you know, very sexually active, and it brings them down a lot, because that's what progesterone does. Progesterone is a super happy, blissed out, everything's okay hormone. Now, progesterone has to be like that, because that's what keeps us as women, our bodies and our minds, so excited that we're pregnant. Ridiculously so. Like women can go through an entire pregnancy with so much, and the progesterone's high right through there. But what happens in the cycle if you don't get pregnant is the progesterone drops right down. Now, a lot of women get hormonal migraines and they get hormonal headaches, and that's because the progesterone's dropped super fast. Once again, herbally we give them Vitex Angus Castus, which is chastity berry, bring the progesterone back up again. It's the best herb for that. Like, I just love that herb for that. If you want to keep your progesterone levels up, progesterone stops the bleeding. As long as the progesterone's up in the luteinizing phase, you will not bleed. The progesterone has to stay up to keep that beautiful little baby that's attached to your uterus wall sitting there and growing. Otherwise, if you get the bleed and the progesterone drops, that baby's going to fall out, and that's called a miscarriage. And so you don't want that to happen. Your body doesn't want that to happen. So your body wants the progesterone to be super high. But the other thing that we want is when we get that drop in progesterone, which we get premenstrual tension, and that can come out in so many ways. And one of the ways that it comes out is if your estrogen is too high, if you've got a lot of hormones and toxins in your liver, you will get angry. If you've retained the fluid retention and the oedema and the inflammation in your body, and you've got that inflammation at that phase, at the end of the luteal phase, that is the precursor to all chronic disease. You're at higher risk for diabetes. You're at higher risk for obesity. And this is just a general understanding that all chronic diseases, and this is evidence-based, chronic diseases come from chronic inflammation. And what's going to bring the chronic inflammation down? Turmeric and ginger. So having turmeric and ginger right through from ovulation right through until the bleed is probably one of the best things you can do, because you want to bring down the inflammation, you want to get rid of that estrogen. And if you find that you've got issues, like you're getting headaches, you have an irregular cycle, if you find that you've got any kind of issue, then you add in things like Lepidium mayonnaise, the maca. You add in more adaptogenics. Again, you take those adaptogenics, the astragalus, the echinacea, the hypericum. Echinacea, I'm sorry, I didn't mention it before, but echinacea you need because it's strong for your immunity. If you've got any autoimmune diseases, or if you've got a low autoimmunity, or if you're exposed environmentally or seasonally to extra things that require you to have, you know, like you've got a weakened immunity, when you come to the drop of the luteal phase at the end of the cycle, that is when you have the lowest immunity. That is when you are the weakest and you are the most vulnerable. You're weak emotionally, you're weak mentally, you're weak, you're tired, you're done. We all know that feeling. And you're also, it's when you cry, you get angry, you have fights with your partner, like that's the time. You're like, I can count the number of times that I've been had premenstrual tension and I've had to pull myself away from my family because I can feel the build and go and do something really awesome, like by myself, or go and do something really awesome with them, because you have to recognize that a lot of the environment around you, and we know this, we're all just mirrors, right? But when you've got premenstrual tension, and when you're angry or upset, or you're feeling weak and vulnerable and your immunity's down and you're feeling sick and you've got those huge shifts, and this was something that Ash mentioned, stability, and Shay mentioned there in your one as well, darling, emotional plunges. Like this is the time it's going to happen. And so this is when you want nourishing, nurturing things like the Avena Sativa oat straw tea that we're drinking today is perfect. Chamomile, lots and lots of chamomile. Bring your progesterone up with chasteberry berry. This is when you really want to build your body up. Like when Honiolia was talking about seeds, like the phytoestrogens and the phytostanols, and the phytostanols work with the cholesterol, and the phytostanols work with the carrying mechanism that's carrying all of your hormones around, and like bring down low density lipoproteins and that kind of thing. That's the time you want to do that. Like if you know for a fact that you know you can feel your period coming on and you've got this going on, you know what? Another great opportunity to just have a day of juices. A really great opportunity to just say, hey, there's a novel I've been wanting to read. You know, I'm just going to, like, you know, and say to your partner, hey, can you cook dinner tonight? Like, I'm just not feeling it. And, you know, tell your kids that you actually, I'm sorry, but I'm, you know, I've got premenstrual tension, guys. Can you just help me here? You know, I've asked you to clean up your room for the last week. You've ignored me. Can you just do it? You know, because that's the stuff that's going to create such a blowout in yourself that you just can't help it, and you're going to have to express it to them. No one else realizes when you've been nice to them for 2 weeks from ovulation, for a week and a half, you've just been super steady and emotionally nice, and you've been saying things like, oh, you know, I'd really like it if you tidy up your library because it's really messy and I want you to do that. And you're really nice about it for a week and a half, and then premenstrual tension kicks in. It's like, yo! And they're like, whoa! And they probably didn't hear you the first time because you were being nice and they thought they were in control. But this is when you can lose it, and this is when you really need the Nervines. St. John's wort, to me, it's antiviral. It's an antidepressant. It's evidence-based. The commissionee in Europe say that it works as well as any other pharmaceutical antidepressant without the side effects. Is the herb for this time. If you don't take St. John's wort at any other time in your cycle, the week before your period, just start shooting it back because you need it. Make St. John's wort tea. Have St. John's wort in herbal in your herbal blends. I personally like that stuff all the time in my herbal blends. So that's the stages of the cycle. And this is too when you're most vulnerable. And this is when you need the nurturing. This is when you need to set stuff up, good stuff up. Like if you're going to deal with issues in relationships, if you're going to deal with shit that you don't like, don't deal with it now, you know, like because it's just blowing up. It's not a good time to deal with it, you know, because even though it's the most compulsive, obsessive time to deal with it, just imagine you've got this big balloon around your body, which is your luminous body, and you've got this magnetic field and it's like this strong or weak. This is the time when it's going to be at its weakest. Your magnetic field's going to be at its weakest at this point. And your luminous body is going to be pushing out against the edges. And then your emotional body is all, your luminous body is full of all of your emotional body and everything else. And, you know, this is when you've just got to put a big piece of steel around your luminous body. Take your herbs, take your time out, look after yourself, be kind to yourself. And hopefully you've dealt with all the other stuff before it gets to that. Because this is the stage of the cycle when you can blow out. The number of women who say, oh, that was a straw that broke the camel's back. That was the day I left my husband. Oh, we got back together a week later. You know, it's so funny because that's the stage when you're going to just like, that's it. Like, that's it. I'm done. And it's right there because your hormones are at their lowest. Your immunity's at its lowest. Your luminous body's its most blown out. You're feeling like, you know, like you are not powerful. But you're vulnerable. It's when you're most vulnerable. And it's when you can be your weakest. But it's also when you can just be done with stuff and you just say it and you say it how it is. So maybe that's a really good time to journal things. Maybe it's a really good time to record things. Maybe it's really good. Like this is if you're aware of this stuff, and thank God I was, because it allowed me to just really pull back. And like if you feel something overwhelming, like, you know, it's 5 o'clock in the afternoon, you're in the kitchen, you've got your glass of wine, I think it's your third one, you're cooking dinner, you don't want to, and someone comes in and says, oh, can you do this now? And you're like, no, I asked you to do that ever how many times. And then this is when things start. Problems can create themselves very, very quickly because you're feeling that. Does everyone know that shattered Shen luminous explosive feeling that you have to keep under control? Because who does it serve if you let it out? It doesn't serve you, and it certainly doesn't serve anyone around you. And it all comes out the wrong way anyway because it's coming from an emotional position that isn't particularly caring what the result is at that moment because it's got to that. So when you look at how to look after your emotional body through the cycle, you don't want to get to that point. So the solution for that is write it down, take your Nervines, take your antidepressants, take your Vitex Angus Castus, rest, go and have hot baths, go for swims in the ocean. If you surf, surf. If you go to the gym, go to the gym. But do light, try and be light. Try and be light with yourself. Try and be light with the world around you. This is a time when you want to use lots of aromatherapy. This is a time when you want to use a lot of softness. You want to practice the art of softness. You want to practice the art of being gentle with yourself. You want to practice the art of being kind to yourself. In that last week before your period and during your period, hide. And then after you've hidden, right, so you've this is a complex thing being a woman, because it's not just the hormones; it's everything that goes with that. And then if you're going to address anything, like if you really want to address stuff with other people, if you want to sit your partner down and the time between the bleed and ovulation is the best time to do it. It's a time, and like closer to ovulation is even better because you've got a better chance of resolution, i.e. sex. Because if you're disagreeing with anything, you just have sex and then you say, hey, look, you know, I really want to talk about this. They'll say, okay, I understand what you're saying. And then you get some more resolutions and even small steps. You can actually work it through over long-term relationships where they actually turn into quite big steps. But if you're addressing it before your period and you're sitting on the kitchen floor crying and you're like, ah, and you look like you're going to kill them and they're like, what's going on? That isn't good. So have your period, hide, and then, you know, then, like, you know, because you've, let's face it, you've had this week before your period where you could write it all down and all, and you can express it. You've had your whole period where you're hiding, and then that's when you can possibly and potentially revisit it all again and go, how would I express this? How can I say this? And then you say it out loud and you go, oh, I can't really say it like that to them. And then you work out ways and it improves your communication skills. And somebody put communication skills up there. And, you know, this is really important. Thanks, Andy, you put that there. And you know, communication, the effectiveness of communication can be taken through the cycle as well. So our cycle has a creative cycle. We have a physical cycle. We have an emotional cycle. We have an energetic cycle. And then we have like this physical cycle of the world around us as well and what's happening and how we cope with that. Okay, so I'm going to take questions. Any questions? I'm going to repeat them so that everyone can hear. Yes?
I've been told that if you have an autoimmune
disease. If you have an autoimmune disease.
That adaptogens are to be avoided.
Okay, well, our topic today isn't autoimmune diseases, it's women's reproductive cycle. And our next Long Table Wellness Day is on immunity, and we will cover that topic then. Adaptogenics are, in my mind, particularly good for all women's hormonal cycles. And I always give people with autoimmune diseases adaptogens 100%. And I think that any herbalists or naturopaths listening to my podcast today are just going to 100% straight up agree with me. But specific ones for specific autoimmune diseases. Yeah, and you want to be careful. You want to make sure that you're dealing with the right thing before you start giving any herb to anyone for anything, because you don't want to mask or hide a condition, Jacqueline. And I think that what you're talking about is that potentiality of masking an autoimmune disease and hiding it, which could still have the underlying cause not addressed. And I think that's what you're talking about. But that's our next Long Table Wellness Day. Yeah, anyone else? No one has any questions? Okay. All right. That's pretty good. It's pretty cool. Okay. So what I want you to do now is I want you to pair off again just with the person who's next to you. You guys. And I want you to just in a nutshell tell each other what you got out of the information that I gave you that's going to help you, just even one thing. Okay, go for it.
Hang on,
one more question. yes, your question is?
So once we stop bleeding. Are we still going through those same
phases? Okay, well, before you guys break up into your group, I will then... Stages of life, like when you go through the cycle, that was the cycle. And then as you go through perimenopause, when you start, it starts to change, and it changes for each of us differently. Any of those aspects that I was talking about can be intensified or they can be decreased according to how you respond to anything. Say, for example, you've been secreting too much estrogen and you've done the adrenal thyroid burnout and you're dealing with adrenal and thyroid issues and you hit menopause, you're going to have a lot more difficulty than a woman who has taken the adaptogens, who has taken the herbs, who has watched her cycle, who has no adrenal issues, who has no thyroid markers like me. I'm 55 and I'm tested regularly with my GP. My adrenals are perfect. My thyroid is perfect. I'm I'm in menopause and I've been in menopause for 5 years, but I'm trying to delay it and slow it as much as I can. Because the more you can slow these things down, the longer you can delay menopause, then you're going to be storing calcium in your bones. And that's your bones' job, is to hold calcium so that when your muscles move and you have muscle action, the magnesium can go in and release the calcium that goes to the muscles for the muscles to use. So if you want to store things like calcium as long as possible. You want to secrete progesterone as long as possible, because if you don't, then you could go into more depressions and anxieties and worries. And you notice how as women get older, they become more anxious and they become more insular and that kind of stuff. That's progesterone. That's hormones at play. And then you really would like to keep your estrogen under control, because if you hit menopause and you've got too much estrogen around in your body, like look at the incidence of ovarian cancer, uterine cancer, cervical cancer, and breast cancer. And look at the age groups of those women. They're postmenopausal. Too much estrogen hasn't been dealt with, isn't out of the body. That flow isn't happening. You look at exhaustion and chronic fatigue syndrome and just that total lack of and that absolute drop-off that some people suffer from postmenopausally. It's because they haven't created a strong luminous body, a strong mental body, a strong emotional body, a strong physical body, and they've allowed hormones to be in such control that when the hormones go, there's nothing left. And you don't want that. What you want is as the hormones go and as the hormones decline, you want to stay within the cycle. So physiologically, once you stop bleeding, the cycle starts to fade, and it fades and 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 fades, and then you find yourself in your late 70s and it's faded, it's gone. But there are so many women that keep it in play. And I know so many women, like beautiful, beautiful herbal women, like there's some beautiful herbalists and naturopaths who I know globally who are in their 60s, 70s and 80s who are just so healthy. And they're powering and they're keeping up the same herbs. Like I have, oh my goodness, can somebody please get the Shisandra? Wala, could you pass the Shisandra berry down? And can everybody please pour a shot of Shisandra chinensis into their little shot cup and pass it down here because I want it. Shisandra chinensis was the Chinese herb of royalty. And Shisandra chinensis was a herb. It's a berry. And it can be eaten as a berry. And traditionally in China, the women in the royal houses used to, this is a herb that's given from the beginning of menopause until the day of death. And you really had to be quite rich to have Shisandra or have a Shisandra tree. Because Shisandra does everything in Chinese medicine. There's a thing called Jing. And Jing is it's like they call it the young deer. And it's the adrenal hormones that you're born with. It's your innate core energy. So I'm trying to explain this cycle thing to you so that we get it. And so what happens is if your Jing, which is your core energy, which is going back to adrenals, cortisol, noradrenaline, adrenaline, DHEA, all those adrenal hormones, that's why you don't want to burn out your adrenals when you're young. Because you want to keep your adrenal glands super strong, because that keeps your Jing super strong. And if your Jing is super strong, then you've got vitality, you've got life force. This is vitality. And this one here, Shisandra chinensis, is the berry that is called the royal berry for that, because it's a berry of longevity. And it is eaten as a herb, but I have it. I have been taking it now for probably since my mid-40s, and I take it pretty well every day because I want good adrenal glands. I want good Jing. I want good Shen. Shen is the other thing in Chinese medicine. When I talk about emotional body and luminous body, like I've got so many languages I'm talking in here because I'm coming from just my own studies through what I've, and I'm obsessive, you know what I'm like. Just get focused on something and it's like suddenly I'm studying Kundalini yoga, so like nothing else exists for 3 years. Yeah. And then I do naturopathy, nothing else exists. And then I do, you know, Zen Tai Shiatsu, nothing else exists. And so it's really important. And then now I'm able to, at this stage of my life, put them all together in context in a way that it works. And this one, Shisandra berry, it's the herb of longevity. And we have it in our cooling menopause blend. I also have it in my iodine metabolism blend. We make a great metabolism blend because I'm working on the thyroid, the adrenals. This is a hepatoprotective as well. It protects your liver cells. It's going to work on that phase 2 liver detoxification pathway. Okay, everybody, let's just all say cheers together. Cheers. Cheers. Oh, it's bitter? Yikes. It's a bitter berry, Shisandra chinensis. If you can get some, eat the fresh berry, put it in your food, make an extract out of it. If you're at home and you have access to vodka and Shisandra berries, you can make a vodka extraction of it. You just fill up a bottle full of the berries and then fill it up with vodka. That's about a 40% extraction. Our extraction here is sitting at a 60% extraction ratio, so it's very powerful. But that's what you want because you really want it to absorb into your body. Shisandra berry is super powerful. It works on all of your hormones. It's just the woman's aging longevity hormone. Yeah. And when you look at your question was about cycles, well, you can keep that cycle going. You know, like that's it. Like it's the new moon. It's the dark of the moon. I set my intentions. I hide. I fast. I do what I'm doing. It's coming up. Yeah, because you're going through it in your mind, and then you're still keeping your body in it. Like, you know, your body has an intrinsic memory. Your cells have an intrinsic memory. You've been in this cycle for your entire womanhood, for your entire adult life. You know, you can keep it going. And that's where, you know, all this wise woman's business is super important for us. You know, because like the herbs for this are salvia officinal sage. It's known as wise woman herb. Any woman who's postmenopausal would do well to take this. It's hormonally balancing. It stops hot flushes. It works on the gonadotropin releasing hormone in the anterior pituitary gland. If you're postmenopausal, you're going to want to keep those hormones going. Remember I said at the very beginning of this workshop, we work from the top. So the top is the pituitary gland, and in the case of hormones, it's the gonadotropin releasing hormone in the anterior pituitary gland, which is the very front. And so you're looking at thyroid stimulating hormone. You're looking at all of the stimulating hormones for all of the androgens, the testosterones, the, you know, like everything. And you need the androgens for your adrenal glands as women. We need that. We need, you know, we need DHEA. We need to balance out the cortisol. We need to repair our adrenal glands. So postmenopausally, vitamin C, absolutely essential because it is a really strong adrenal builder. Like humans, we don't make our own vitamin C. Everyone needs vitamin C, but it's particularly like it pertinent when we go through at the end of our cycle. And then I know women who, I know that the most vibrant, okay, so you've got choices, right, as we age. You can shrink down into life, or you can continue to be, you know, the master of your own destiny. And, you know, we are living longer than we ever have before. And so when I hear the term, when a woman says to me or anyone says to me, oh, I'm too old to learn that, it's like, wow, you've learned all this and now you're too old to learn that? Wow. Like to me, it would be, why not continue it? And it's the same thing with the hormonal cycle. And the most vibrant, effervescent, empowered, steady, graceful, another thing we were talking about, soft, empowered, financially secure, prosperous, happy, adventurous. Need I go on to describe elderly women who are in their power? Like, I want to be like that. And so what's my choices? Okay, I've got choices. I can go, oh, here I am. I'm 55. I'm sort of, you know, into menopause. What am I going to do? Oh, let's shrink up and stay in the house, you know. Oh, or I could go on a cruise, you know. I don't know. or, you know, like in my case, I'm like, oh, I'm looking at doing all this extra study and I'm growing my business and like to me, it's like my mind, and it's like you hear people say it as they get older, and as we get older, we only realize it, and that is that you feel the same as when you were young. But the thing is, the thing you take with you is the lessons, and you have to have the grace and the fortitude of spirit and everything else to let go of any of the shit that's behind you, Let go of all your shame. Let go of all your guilt. Let go of everything that's let you down. Let go of everything that's hurt you. Let go of everything. Like, you've got to let it go through the luminous body. And in Kundalini Yoga, Yogi Bhajan has taught us a thing, and we're all going to do it now, and it's really super easy. I just want you to close your eyes and just put your hands on your lap and just take three deep breaths. Just everybody, just take three deep breaths. Okay, do you feel your own presence? Do you feel your own self where you are right now? Can you feel the boundaries around you? Can you feel your physical body? Feel your arms and your head and your face and your physical boundaries around you. Just feel them, they exist. Okay. Now put your hands on your shoulders. And we've got what's called an arc line. It goes from one ear to the other ear. This is an esoteric, energetic, old yogic sutric thing. This comes from the Patanjali Yogic Sutras, and it's an ancient yogic thing. And then as women, we have another arc line that goes from nipple to nipple. So we have two arc lines. Now they say that our karma is held in our arc line. That is the karma that we're about to play out right now. I'm getting right into the weird yogic stuff right now, but I think you need it because it's going to help you. Okay, so there's these words, Waheguru, 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 Wahejiyo. Now, Waheguru kind of in English could be translated to, isn't life great? Isn't life great? Isn't life great? Yep, life's great. Okay. Now, Wala and Dali know this well because their dad's a Kundalini yoga teacher as well, and he was like one of my first Kundalini yoga teachers. And if it wasn't for your dad, girls, I would never have gone and studied Kundalini yoga. So this is very special. So what you do then is what we're going to do is we're going to get our eyes and we're going to just look down to the tip of our nose with our eyes. We're going to move our hands to our nipple arc line, even though there's men here. Andy, you can pretend you've got one, like this. And then we're going to do this, okay? So you're going to join me and we're going to sing this. We're going to sing, Wahe Guru, Wahe Guru, Wahe Guru, Wahe Jio. Wahe Guru, Wahe Guru, Wahe Guru, Wahe Jio. And as you're doing it, you're taking your hands and you're moving them and just pushing energy up through the arc line between your two ears, just above your shoulders. And that's what they say is you're releasing karma. This is Yogi Bhajan. He said you're releasing karma from that you would play out. So you're stopping yourself playing out that karma. You're letting it go. So this is shitty stuff or karmic stuff that might come out that you're going to play out. You're letting it go. You're not going to play it out. So he says that we do it for 31 minutes. So for 30, but we're not going to do it for 31 minutes. What we're just going to do it for a few minutes all together as a group. So you're going to just take your eyes and you're going to look down to your to the tip of your nose, and you're going to focus looking at your eyes like a triangle coming down to the tip of your nose. This is a very specific yogic way of looking at things. And then we're all going to sing together, Waheguru, 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 Wahejiyo. Okay, you ready? Waheguru, 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 Wahejiyo. 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 Okay, you've got it. I'm not going to make you do it, but this class, Kundalini Yoga, we are happy to do that for 31 minutes, 62 minutes often, you know, in White Tantra, that's what we do. But you know what it does? It clears you and it brings you to the presence. That's what a lot of this stuff is designed for. And that's all you really need to do. And so as you get, like, this is the whole problem, is the whole world outside us tries to get us to be externalized. Whereas what we really need to do is be internalized, sort ourselves out from the inside, get rid of those layers of the onion around us, and then we are healing ourselves. And if we heal ourselves, we heal the world. It's that simple. And when we're a woman and we go through these cycles, we have to really honor and respect ourselves. And this is the whole wise woman thing. And that is, the older we get, like, it's just better. You know, really, we just get better. You know, and then of course we're going to physically decline. We all physically decline. Of course we are. But you can avoid that and you can slow that down. And that is like that longevity stuff. And when you look at the cycles, it's up to us to keep those cycles going, because they are an ever-weakening cycle. And even though you might not have the blood there to say, okay, that's it, I'm bleeding day one of my cycle, you know when it is. You can feel it. And even after you stop bleeding, like, you know, and this is another thing, is that people try to stop hot flushes. What is that about? Hot flushes are a blessing. Okay, I'll just tell you what, they speed up your metabolism for up to 4 hours when you have a hot flush. How good is that? They are sending messages through your liver, and they're sending a whopping great big gush of blood through your liver, and that's decongesting your liver. That is taking out poisons and toxins and throwing it in your bloodstream. And then when women get bad tempered when they've got hot flushes, I just say go on a detox, clean your liver. Hot flushes are a sign of liver congestion, estrogen dominance. They're a sign of a whole lot of things that are societal. Traditionally, women didn't really suffer anything with menopause. You know, like even one, two generations ago, like I know my mum, like she just did not suffer from anything in menopause. And if you look at your own mums, did they? I question, they probably didn't. No, I actually think that, did they not just talk about it? Jackie's just asked the question, did they not talk about it? I don't think that it's a case of did they not just talk about it.
Moving estrogen through, or a buildup of estrogen. In menopause, a lot of women have no progesterone. Their levels of estrogen are still relatively level.
In menopause, a lot of women have no progesterone, and their levels of estrogen are pretty level, and that's what menopause is. It's a decline of hormones. So, of course, they're going to have a decline of hormones.
So
and it's,
you just take your vitamins?
Well, progesterone is the happy one. It's the one that makes you feel good. I personally like having progesterone. I think it's a really good hormone. I'd like to get rid of estrogen because that's the one that causes all of the cancers and the problems and the congestions and the, you know, like too much estrogen creates a lot more problems than too much progesterone. And of course we're going to lose hormones. That's what menopause is. It's like the door of the hormones going out. You know, it's like you can't deny it any longer. Phase of life. That's what menopause is, technically. It's like, oh, I can't pretend I'm young anymore. You know, I can't be, you know, it's aging. It's a really definitive sign of aging. And it's what you have done up until that point with your own self and your own truth and your own empowerment in your own life and how you've lived and what you've let go of and what you've held on to that's going to define how you cope with that moment. Like the amount of women that go on pharmaceutical antidepressants, cholesterol-lowering herbs, cardiovascular medications at menopause is astounding. The amount of women that take hormones to avoid menopause for as long as possible is great if they were taking things that weren't damaging. And, like, it's been proven now that, you know, taking horse's urine from the back of Thailand in a pharmaceutical medicine that's been years old, that's in a tablet that you take, increases your chances of getting illnesses like ovarian, cervical and breast cancer. You know, that was back in, I think it was about 2003, there was a particular menopausal medication that every woman, because I was working in pharmacy as a naturopath at that stage, and every woman was on it, you know. It was just crazy. They were all taking it. It was called Premarin. Premarin, like mare, pregnant mare's urine. Hello, you know. And it was just causing, they just took so many people off it super quickly. And there were huge hormonal declines in these women. And they were coming to see me. And they were like, what are you going to do, Dom? And I'm like, And what we did was, that was a really good learning curve for me because I still work with a lot of these women. It's ridiculous. They've stuck with me. But we went through, they were like guinea pigs for me because I was had the research and it was like, oh, we take this, this and this. And yes, it has worked. A lot of these women are in their mid-60s now. They've avoided a lot of the problems that could have happened, ACA, breast cancer. But then, you know, we look at the whole incidence of that and they say that one in every three women in our society is going to get that kind of thing. That's pretty scary. That's really scary. And what we want to do is we want to say that the less toxins that we are exposed to as individuals, the more we can keep our liver clean, the more we can keep our inflammatory factors down. This is postmenopausal. And the more we can stay in the cycle of where we were, the more we use the moon, the more we use the, you know, the more we are in tune, then we're going to be fully capable of being more empowered than ever before. And, you know, like you look at things like the issues that women deal with as we get older, we're dealing with, and then this is another hormonal thing, like the bone density issues where, you know, like you're older and you fall over and hips broken. The obesity issue, the, you know, the cholesterol issue, the cardiovascular issue. I did a project when I was doing, I did a master's in public health, in health promotion, and I did a project and it was called For the Love of Woman's Heart. And it was interesting because I was doing it through the university and it was a program that I set up because I did health promotion and I set up a program for postmenopausal women and cardiovascular disease. And what happens is postmenopausally, we have the same risk factors for cardiovascular disease that men have simply because we don't have those hormones protecting us anymore. And so like the evidence base to prevent cardiovascular disease postmenopausally for women at that time was three things. One was Crataegus moniera, which is hawthorn berry. It's a cardioglycoside and it's a really good herb to take. Taking it in a small dose. Schisandra berry is a cardiovascular herb as well. It's an everything herb. The other thing was coenzyme Q10 and bilioquine. Now that's found in avocados, brown rice. Coenzyme Q10 is in brown rice oil as well. It's an incredibly, a brown rice oil is the basis of many coenzyme Q10 supplements that you buy. So just by buying brown rice oil, you're getting coenzyme Q10. Eating avocados is the best, most nourishing way that I know of to get coenzyme Q10. That's how I get it. And the other one was essential fatty acids, omega-3, DHA, EPA, essential fatty acids. It was evidence-based at that time. And at the time, they were doing it through fish oil supplements. And if anyone's read my book, The Wellness Zone, you know how much I ban and hate fish oil supplements. I've banned them years ago. But essential fatty acids, chia seeds, essential fatty acids. Oh, where was it? Pumpkin, hemp. There were some other ones that were mentioned on seeds. Flax seeds, all of that stuff. Like, sure, you need that through your whole life because you need it for cell membranes and everything. But when you get into the postmenopausal stage, you need it. It's not like you might need it or it'll help. It's like you really, really need it. And that keeps our skin in a really healthy condition as well. And we want to stop that thinning of the skin and things. And up here on the blackboard, we've got Discoria villosa wild yam. And that's a progesterone-based cream, and we have the wild yam extract we make. That's another awesome progesterone in the same way as chastity berry is. Discoria villosa wild yam also works on the adrenal glands with DHEA, so it's definitely something to take. It's something to take as you're older. It works with youth. How you take wild yam cream is use it with impunity and abundance. If it's a herbally-based wild yam cream, if it's a progesterone cream, that's a compounding progesterone cream that may be taken from an animal source, which I don't recommend anyway. I don't even want to talk about those. Like you put a little dollop on here or here. I don't like bioidentical hormones for that reason. I prefer to take things from plants and to take it as a whole thing. Eat it, drink it.
And also put it on your body. That's perfect. Thank you for joining me on my podcast today. This is directly recorded at our Long Table Wellness Day, which is held in Mullaney, Queensland, Australia. And our focus on this one was women's hormonal health care. The day started out with a little introduction where there were 15 ladies there and we all introduced ourselves and said what we wanted to get out of the workshop. And then we went into some workshopping activities. to get to know each other, followed by this session. I'm stopping the recording here, and I thank you very much for joining me. Project Wellness, my name's Dominique Liv-Kamal, medicineroom.com.au. I'm all about wellness and joy, and I look forward to sharing information with you next time. Thank you. Project Wellness. Love you. Have a great day. Bye.